Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mr. Wang Yangrui on April 24, 1982 by Sue Ellen Chen. This is tape 4. So you were dishwasher in the hotel,
yeah, right.
And then you actually left the hotel?
I got to be a second cook.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on a vacation,
mm-hmm.
And when I came back,
mm-hmm.
there was another cook there, the
mm-hmm.
original cook
uh-huh.
that I liked so well,
uh-huh.
has gone
uh-huh.
to other places.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like to work with this particular cook,
uh-huh.
And didn't like to work under him, rather,
mm-hmm.
as a second cook.
Mm-hmm.
So, and besides, another thing that what got me to quit the hotel work is that it wasn't any different than when I was working down on the farm,
mm-hmm.
have to get up 2 o'clock in the morning
mm-hmm.
to light up the range to get it warmed up for the cooks to come in
mm-hmm.
and take over. And then I'll be the last one out when I wash all the pots and pans
mm-hmm.
at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Oh.
Just to get a few hours sleep and do the same thing again. Well, on the farm, I get up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, feed the stock, feed the horses, and then go and get my breakfast and come back and hitch them up and to a plow or a harrow or,
mm-hmm.
or other farm instruments and work all night until the sun is down.
Mm-hmm.
There's no difference, in the thing than the hotel work. And I said, gee, I gotta find myself an easier way to make a living.
Uh-huh.
And so I got a job as a janitor at a nice theater.
Mm-hmm.
Although I wanted to be a projectionist mm-hmm. and operate the picture,
uh-huh.
I didn't have a chance. You know,
uh-huh.
Like they say, I don't have a Chinaman's chance.
Uh-huh. Wow, so that was the first theater. Was the same
yes,
theater you worked at?
Elmo now? Theater. Yeah.
Elmo?
Yeah, okay. Called the Elmo Theater.
Uh-huh.
It was a
E-L-M-O?
Nice E-L-M-O.
Okay, Elmo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice house
mm-hmm.
With plush seats, you know, velvet-covered
mm-hmm.
seat,
mm-hmm.
orchestra chairs, and with a horseshoe balcony. And boxes on each side, and a large stage for roadshow production. And the big shows that comes from one town to another. You know,
mm-hmm.
they use San Luis Obispo as a stopover
uh-huh.
because it's a halfway point between Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So from going from one place to another on a train. The only mode of transportation in those days, you know, is by train.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, if you want to go to Los Angeles, San Francisco, you go on a train.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how these road shows travel from one place to another. So San Luis Obispo was fortunate enough to have these road shows,
mm-hmm.
big road productions, stage shows come in, and we put on these shows. And then play one night. If it was a stock company, they'll play all week.
Mm-hmm.
Stock company comes in and put on different shows every day for a whole week and then move on. In the meantime, we would run a movie.
Mm-hmm. That time would be silent.
Mm-hmm. Silent movies. Mm-hmm.
How old were you then when you started becoming a janitor? So you got out from school about 12, 13 years old?
I was 1913 when I was at the theater. I started at the theater in 1913.
And how many years did you work in the hotel?
I worked 8 months.
Eight months.
Yeah, only 8 months.
Mm-hmm. So you were in the farm for quite many years then?
Mm-hmm.
Since you come out from school.
Yeah, and
so
then
it was like
I was on the farm
years.
For about 7 years on the farm.
I see. Uh-huh. So and you got this janitor job. I'm sorry to cite
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Then the operator, I had a chance to work as a projectionist because as an operator, I found a job. This was during World War One,
mm-hmm.
when they were hiring people at the Mare Island Navy Yard up there in San Francisco Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They were paying $11 a day, and oh, this is a lot of money for the operator. He took off and went to work. Well, 3 days after he
left, he
asked me, would you like to run the movies? I said, yes. I said, what do you think I'm pushing this broom around here for? So that was my break, see.
Ah.
I got something soft work to do, and I visualized that I must find something easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get old, I will still be able to do it. Now, I made a wise move then, see, mm-hmm. because here I am, in a few months I'll be 90 years old.
Mm.
No, I beg your pardon.
89
years old. Mm. I'll be 89 years old in the next few months. And here I'm still holding down a top job at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ordinarily, if I was doing piece work or any other kind of work, perhaps after 65 or 70 years old, either they don't want me anymore.
Mm.
I'm too old to do the work, but I'm still able to do what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm.
So how did you learn that? Did you actually, while you were cleaning the places, you watched the operator how to run the machine?
He has never, this operator I'm talking about.
Yes.
He keeps the projection room tight, locked all the time. I never had a chance to see the inside of it. So when he said, asked me if I wanted to operate, and that was the first night I got the chance to go on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But before this, I'll tell you a story about what happened before this. I was cleaning the upstairs, and I said, I want to see the inside, see what it looks like. So I built myself a platform
mm-hmm.
on top of the seats
mm-hmm.
so I can stand and look into the portholes and see if I can see anything. It was so dark in there. I fell around, stuck my hand inside and fell around the wall,
mm-hmm.
and I ran across a switch,
mm-hmm.
and I turned the switch on, and one of the machines started running, and that scared the life out of me. So I shut it off and tear down my platform and never again try to look in it until when he offered to give me the job.
Uh-huh.
And in 3 days' time, while I was in there, after he tried to show me.
He trained you in 3 days. Uh-huh.
And so he took off to go to Mare Island.
Uh-huh.
And here I am. Being Chinese, I have no one in town that I can think of that I can go to and ask questions. Now, if something should go wrong here, what am I going to do, you know? So I studied books, as many books that I can get hold of on the subject of projection, that I can, you know, try to learn, and I do it by the hard way, by learning what goes on in different parts of the machinery. And then I was thinking now the generator, there's so many motors and generators in the theater, operating curtains and machinery of the projector and what have you. I must know something about electricity. So that was a time when I made it a point to learn electricity. And I wanted to learn electrical engineering at Cal Poly. And during the war, I went in as a GI. I wasn't in GI because they kicked me out. I wouldn't say kicked me out. when I went into the draft board, the foreman of the draft board is a very good friend of a lawyer and very good friend of my dad. He knows that I was working for my dad on the farm. So that was my excuse. It wasn't my excuse, that was his idea that, gentlemen, this, I know this young man very well. I know his dad, and he needs him on the farm. So that was my
excuse
to not go into the service. That's how I got out of going into the service. But in the second...
But then still you were GI.
So I talked to... I see I'm not supposed to go into Cal Poly. I can't get into Cal Poly because I didn't have the education. I dropped out on when I was in the sixth grade. That's why I'm so dumb in speaking. I can't relate anything in a proper manner, you know.
Oh, no, you're being
so,
very humble.
So I'm sorry that I didn't have the education that I should have had, you know.
You have more education than everybody else here.
So I talked to the top officials of the Cal Poly, and I told them I'd like to go in and learn vocation as an electrical engineer. And they asked me if I had 2 years of high school. I have to have 2 years of high school before I can get in there. But I said, no. I said, you have a class. You have classes here for the GIs at that time. I said, if you you have classes for the GIs here, you have a couple hundred GIs that are going through school. I said, why can't I join one of those classes? Well, the instructor said, it wasn't an instructor, it was a vice president of the Cal Poly. He said, yes, he said, we may put you in with a GI. I said, fine, I'll take you.
I see. So you got in there like...
So I got in as a GI, see, and then in 4 years' time, while I was working, sweeping out in the daytime and cleaning the theater in the daytime, and in nighttime I run the pictures, in the day, and in the morning I go to school, see. So I walked to school from home on Palm Street,
uh-huh.
second floor in the Aldo store. Walk to school every morning and learn my electrical engineering there.
I see.
So I graduated in 1923
uh-huh.
with an electrical engineering degree.
Oh, that was very good. And you actually ran the theater all along,
mm-hmm.
taking care of the whole theater. And was the owner sort of reluctant to hire you, or he didn't have choice at that time to hire you as a
You mean why they have to hire
mm-hmm,
me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there wasn't anybody that they could pass, for instance, that would want the job. Mm-hmm. Not that it was a undesirable job. I imagine that many, many people would like to have a job like that because it's easy work, you know, nothing real hard as far as projection is concerned. It's just an acknowledgement of what you know
learning.
About the machinery and how to keep it in order
mm-hmm.
and keep the show going, you
mm-hmm.
know. Because after I was working, you know, talk about animosity against the Chinese and all that sort of stuff. I only had one remark made for me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You have a white man's job."
Mm-hmm.
He mean that I have a good job,
mm-hmm.
and I'm taking it away from the white man. You
uh-huh,
see.
Uh-huh.
I think that was what it was meant anyway.
Uh-huh.
But that was a remark that was made to me. You have
only
a white,
one.
You have a white man's job.
Oh, that was a remark made by
a fellow in town. He is Swiss, either a Swiss or a Portuguese nationality.
Uh-huh. Sort of friend of yours always.
Yeah, he was a friend of mine.
I see.
You have a white man's job.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, so while you were going to school, while we get back to the projectionist, when you start working there as a janitor, how much did you get paid?
Well, I would get I was getting $12 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning every day, cleaning the theater. And then when I was, got the projection work,
mm-hmm.
projection work was getting $15 a week.
Uh-huh.
So the combined, I was getting $25 a week.
Oh, that's pretty good. But you work hard, though.
Work hard. I have to, you know, for 7 years, I never had a day off for 7 years, and I worked every day, and especially when I was going to school. The time was pretty well taken up.
Uh-huh. At that time, were you married?
I was married in I was married in 1912.
Uh-huh.
See, before that, when I was working for my dad, I wasn't getting a cent.
Right. Yeah.
No money coming in.
Until you got married.
And just when I got married, and he was still taking care of my bills, you
uh-huh.
know. And then I decided, I said, what the heck? Why keep on living on my dad?
Uh-huh.
I don't get anything for it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a burden on somebody, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided that I better get out and,
uh-huh.
and earn my own living.
Uh-huh. I see.
So I didn't want to
uh-huh.
keep on. I don't know how long that would last, you know, if I my dad's footing all the bills
uh-huh.
while I was married. You know, that's no good.
Mm-hmm. Was that the movie theater, draw a lot of attendance at that time?
Yes,
it's a big movie theater.
It's a big theater. It was a 925 seat
mm-hmm.
house.
And it
with
was
a balcony.
It was always full house most of the time?
Quite often they fill it up.
Mm-hmm. So and how much do they charge, like for the admission?
Very meager, 25 cents, 35 cents around there at that time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did they only hire you as a, like a cleaning, as a janitor, mm-hmm. as well as projectionist? Mm-hmm. Did they hire other people taking care of tickets and or any other janitors mm-hmm. besides you?
I had the grand title, mm-hmm. we'll say, of a stage manager. They yeah. gave me that title.
Stage
made
manager.
Made me feel good, you mm-hmm. know, as a stage manager, which means that it was up to me to hire as many help as I can mm-hmm. to put the shows on, these big shows. We'll say just one show, just for an example. This is only for an example. Some shows just take just a few people, mm-hmm. three or four, up to six or eight people to run, you know, put the show on, mm-hmm. take it down, haul it to the depot,
mm-hmm.
load the baggage cars,
mm-hmm.
and but other shows like we'll say Guy Bates Post. I don't know whether you're familiar with any of these players or not.
Mm-hmm.
He played in a Masquerader.
Mm-hmm.
Masquerader was a heavy show production.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of hanging pieces,
mm-hmm.
roll curtains, and revolving stage, because we have to change so many scenes during the evening
mm-hmm.
that we had to build a set in the back
mm-hmm.
while they're acting in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And when the actors go, we switch to revolve around, and a new scene comes in facing the audience while we
working
the back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that fast. And that time we had to have 36 stagehands
mm.
working for to put on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you were the manager. You hired these 36
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I'm supposed to hire.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's up to me to get help to put these shows on, and according to the list that they gave me, we need so many fly men,
mm-hmm.
we need so many electricians, we need so many prop men to put these props on the stage
mm-hmm.
when we set up, and we need so many stagehands. The stagehands are the one that sets up the scenes,
mm-hmm.
and electricians are the one that lights it up,
right.
and the prop man is the one that puts the tables and chairs or what have you. Or hang a lamp on the wall, or
mm-hmm.
whatever is needed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was up to me to get the help. Not that I was getting a lot of money getting paid for it, because in those days, even a dime is a lot of money. So after the show, the manager would come back and flip a 50-cent piece right in front of me like that. Okay, here's your pay. 50 cents, that was my pay, see. But how I get to put on
the whole show,
is amazing, you know, because I get these help for free. I let some people in to see the show. If they gave me, say, 3 bottles of beer,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
I save the beer. I don't drink myself.
Uh-huh.
I can't drink this stuff.
Uh-huh.
I never did. I tried, but it didn't get very far. Save the beer, and I know these help that I get from the pool rooms and,
uh-huh.
and cigar stores, you know, would love to have a drink of beer. So I treat these help after the show with a bottle of beer or something like that.
So you didn't pay these help?
No.
Just treat them, just, the beers, and get the free thrill show.
They get the thrill of seeing the show in the first place.
Ah.
And the beer that I pay them is a treat, you know.
Ah.
It's a thrill.
I see.
It's amazing that I got by that way.
So besides the being a stage manager,
mm-hmm.
you also do the cleaning job?
Yeah, cleaning job. And all that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. So how long have you been doing this, you know, from the stage manager, janitor, and projectionist?
22 years I was a stage manager.
The same kind of job?
Yeah, the same kind of job.
Do you have to do the cleaning all in this 20 years period?
Later on I dropped
janitor job,
because I was getting more pay for the projection room. I got to pay $25 a week just to run the
projection
room, $35 a week, and keep on building up like that. And so I gave up the broom, you see,
mm-hmm.
because that was a dirty
job. That was after you graduated? You got your degree, or it was before you graduated?
After I graduated.
Uh-huh.
And gradually I got to be, they're beginning to pay me, you know, $1.50 or $2 or $2.50 for each stagehand that I need.
Ah,
you know,
I see. Increase the pay.
Increase my knowledge, you see. I'm supposed to know what I'm doing then.
So in this 22 years, you didn't have to pay a cent to these help.
Mm-hmm.
It was just these people.
No, not all the time, you know. In that length of time, gradually I got to have to pay for help up to I think the highest I've ever paid a single stagehand was about $8.50 to $10.
So the theater will pay them.
Mm, oh yeah, the theater.
Right. Okay.
Then my salary will keep on climbing until I got to be. I was getting $85 a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's just for projection work.
Uh-huh. That's around, like I say, during the Depression time?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was around the 30s, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then I was doing poster work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any lessons on doing any poster work. I just picked it up, take a brush and a bottle of poster paint and do my own, you know, lettering, and I learned how to letter and in a way, you know, got by with making poster for the theater.
So that you pick up a
new
couple
shows,
more dollars.
Yeah, uh-huh. Doing poster work exploitation means you go any way to go and bring in customers to the theater. So I'll go down to the stores and tie up with a store.
Mm-hmm.
If you let me have this space window to advertise the theater, I'll give you so many tickets to the theater, you know. So I had the privilege of giving out tickets to the theater,
mm-hmm.
for the use of this
space,
and then I'll make posters and decorate the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Advertising the show, see, so the boss thinks I'm pretty good, you know, so give me another raise, you see.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I got myself up to $135 a week.
Uh-huh.
Because I was doing all this other work, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then I was making side money by dressing windows down at the department stores, you know. I'd go and dress the mannequins, you know,
uh-huh.
put on different clothes. And for different occasion, every week,
mm-hmm.
practically, I changed the windows.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was making some extra money, $25 or $30 extra a week.
Pretty good.
So I was getting, at that time, the theater alone, I was figuring that I was getting four times what an ordinary grocery clerk would get. Mm-hmm. Grocery clerk gets about $25 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to work hard carrying, lugging through groceries, filling up shelves and all that. So I thought I got a, had a pretty good job. It's a pretty good soft job.
Was your father very proud of you?
Well, yeah, he always bragged about my, you know, my ability, you know. And he loved the shows.
Uh-huh.
He goes to the shows.
Uh-huh.
And they let him in for free.
Uh-huh.
And he would take a bag of Chinese candy and give it to the
attendant
ticket girl, you know.
Ticket girl, uh-huh.
And